Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
This is a little like the old days of WEEI around here. Look what the clock says. 2:15.
We're really late, Rook.
I know. What's up with all that stuff today? What did you do to them?
I didn't do anything. I came into a maelstrom, and I did my best to stay out of it.
Poor Eric walked into a firestorm.
I really did.
Wow. Holy moly. Well, welcome inside the playbook. I apologize to be, 10 minutes late, but... that's because Fred and Paul wouldn't quit bitching at each other. And several emailers have said, quit your bitching. And it didn't apparently, it fell on deaf ears. So, hey, nevertheless.
So how long are we going here?
Yeah.
Well, your ears are deaf if you listen to that whole conversation. Because they were screaming at each other.
It was interesting. All right. Anyway, we're going to plow onward here. Welcome inside the playbook for Wednesday. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential will join us in hour number two of the program today. In the meantime, we've got a lot of emails that we do need to get to. We got phone calls that we do need to get to. But first, there's some news of the day that we do need to bring you up to date on. We have the roster moves that were all made by the team today that I'll let Eric sort of recap here. And then, of course, let's go ahead and hit the practice update while we can, because I know there's a little stuff going on there as well.
You want practice first?
Yeah, let's go with practice first.
Okay, practice, four missing guys.
Right.
Not totally surprised except for one. Patrick Chung, who was hurt very late in that game.
Right.
Dane Fletcher, who remains the mysterious thumb type issue, and Brandon Spikes, who we all saw leave with the, I believe it was a right knee that he injured and never came back. So those three plus Ryan Wendell, who's a little bit of a surprise given that he actually played in the game after center Dan Connolly had the sort of errant snap that almost cost the Patriots a turnover. And was actually raved about by Bill on the conference call yesterday about how he's not just a fill-in part-time player; he's a contributor, and that that he's not just some scrap heap kind of player. He's a important part of this roster. He wasn't out there, and we don't know why. So we'll know more at 4 o'clock when the injury report comes out.
Okay.
Now the transactions.
Yeah.
My God, this has been probably the busiest day that I can remember.
It was a busy day. I mean, I got the notice earlier today, and I'm like, wow, there's some stuff going on here. So bring us up to date.
Right. So you obviously on the air yesterday talked about all the yesterday transactions.
Right.
Right.
So with Haynesworth and
all the other ones, Gronkowski, the Elder getting released, Thomas Welch, Malcolm Williams, all that stuff. Taquan Underwood.
Right.
Coming back.
Signed. Yep.
So today, they. Re-signed Russ Ventrone, to no one's surprise, elevated Sterling Moore from the practice squad, re-signed Josh Victorian, rookie defensive back, to the practice squad, and added linebacker Mike Rivera, who's a 25-year-old journeyman linebacker, again, to the practice squad.
Mm.
And then on the active roster, Nico Koutavidis,
right,
who was a linebacker with the team during training camp preseason. Last we saw him was getting concussed against Tampa Bay,
right,
and he was released shortly thereafter. He's back. And who am I missing? Let me look on my list here.
You mentioned Moore, right?
Sterling Moore.
Sterling Moore.
And you had the Josh Barrett thing or no?
No, we did not get
Josh Barrett
thing.
Who also was hurt late in the Giants game, was put on IR.
So you have no Josh Barrett. He's gone over the year. You had no Patrick Chung at practice day. Who the hell's playing safety?
You had Sergio Brown, James Ihedebo, and your practice squatters, Ross's boss.
Wow.
Baby Bubba Ventrone.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I have the overwhelming impression now that all these moves are a little like shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah. I think I'd have to agree with you. You know what? I just noticed, too, in my practice report, there were so many transactions I left out. I mentioned Nico Koutavidis later on without ever having introduced him the first time around, so I have to go and update that. So apologize for those of you who may have already read that, but there's just so many of them today. Over the last 2 days, it's hard to keep track of. But yeah, I mean, it's because it's all the same guys that they keep adding and subtracting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't understand why from 1 week to the next, this guy is worth something to you, and the next week he's not, and a few days later he is. It's hard to keep track of, John, but it's also inexplicable why they keep doing it with these same. It's not like they're saying, okay, you had your chance, you didn't live up to it, we got to go find somebody else, completely different. It's a rotating revolving door here.
Well, clearly, like I said, it's just, you know, they're just trying to cover up bald spots is all they're trying to do right now. You got a head of hair here that's got a lot of bald spots on it, and they're just trying to cover them all up. And I
Did
think
you have to use that analogy?
Well,
really?
You were here, so I figured. I've been really good with my analysis, I think, lately, actually. I think I've actually been fairly prophetic with it all. So, I'm not sure what to make out of it other than, you know, nothing has obviously overwhelmed me. It's pretty much all underwhelmed me. And before we get to the phones, what's your initial impression on Albert Haynesworth, of course, the focal point of all the transactions that have happened over the last 24 hours?
I can't say I'm completely surprised because, well, just given his history, first of all. But secondly, I mean, just the last time he spoke to us, and I gave him credit, he spoke almost every week. He entertained us for at least a few minutes. But every time it was the same thing. Oh, I got to knock some rust off. I'm getting there. We're close. It's mid-season. It's called mid-season form for a reason. You're supposed to have the rust knocked off by now.
Yeah.
You know, he got here in August.
Yeah, I know.
Basically, the beginning of training camp. There's been enough time to knock the rust off. There's been enough time to get acclimated to the system.
Well, Coach Belichick said earlier today.
And I'm sorry, I'm sure you've heard about the tête-à-tête he had on the sideline.
Right. Which
this
week, we talked about
was
yesterday.
The straw that broke the camel's
yes,
back.
We said that. I said that on yesterday's program. I said that had to have been the impetus for this to happen. It had to be. Because why else wouldn't you? I mean, you're getting this guy for a relatively low dollar. So why else would you cut him? Something clearly happened to say, you know what? We don't need to mess with this anymore. Go.
And you've just activated Ron Brace, Brandon Dedrick.
That made it that much easier to let him go.
Right.
And I said that yesterday as well. The quote from Belichick today was, I'll just say this on the Albert situation. I thought that both he and myself, speaking for the staff, we really tried to make it work. He had a few physical limitations to overcome when he got here, but I thought he really tried to do what we asked him to do. We tried to work with him. In the end, it just didn't work out. I think the best thing we could do was just move on. That's it. That's what we got out of Bill. And that's about as forthcoming as Bill gets, as I'm sure many of you are aware.
And that was an unsolicited remark.
Yeah.
He brought that up in his monologue.
Which somebody told him he probably needed to say, because the more you avoid it, the worse it's going to get.
Of course. Of course.
You know, and I actually banged on Coach Belichick a little bit yesterday for saying, dude, you're exacerbating the problem by your answers. You're forcing us to read and listen between the lines.
Mm-hmm. Draw our own conclusions.
Draw our own conclusions, which may be totally and completely incorrect, but if they are, you got to speak up and say something.
And you know what? I don't understand either. Like, what's the problem with saying, yeah, he was a problem. He caused problems. What's wrong with saying?
I don't know.
If that's the truth.
Because Bill is, believe it or not, he's a quintessential coach's coach. Or, I mean, a player's coach. Where he doesn't berate his players in public, unlike, you know, Rex Ryan or others that would just come out and say, well, that guy blows.
Right.
You know, he doesn't do that.
No, he is consistent with the conversations I have between player or staff member are personal in nature. And,
correct.
You know, that's fine. But, you know, if people are hearing things and talking about things, just confirm or deny.
I know.
What's there to hide?
And hopefully somebody in the PR
staff. You don't
staff
have to slam the guy.
Somebody got to Coach Belichick and said, look, you're going to have to address this. It's probably best that you attack it personally. And that's what you do in any crisis management, okay? Mm-hmm. You stand up and you attack it personally, unlike what, you know, Penn State has done with the whole Paterno fiasco.
My God.
You know, they should have just said, all right, this is how we're handling it. But, you know, they've got too many chiefs trying to, you know, guide the Indians here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, so, I mean, that's an entirely another story. I don't think we'll get to that today. But the fact of the matter is that in crisis management, you stand up, you attack it, and you drive the bus the best way you can.
Mm-hmm.
You dictate tempo, topic, everything in a crisis situation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to assume control. And Bill doesn't do that very well. In fact, he doesn't do it at all. until that's why today's comment on Albert was actually a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the phones. We've got some guys that have been hanging on for a while, and I appreciate it. Let's start off with LeVar in New York. LeVar, you're in the playbook.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good, LeVar. How's it going?
I was just over-listening to what you guys was talking about, but, you know, I just have a question that I wanted to touch on from earlier when I was there. Now, I was saying that there were some other guys on defense that he could get rid of. Now, what do you guys think about Rob Ninkovich? You think he's a good linebacker?
I mean, he's capable. He's a capable NFL player. He's I think he's best suited as a situational type player, not a reliable every down starter, 16 game type thing. I think he's best suited as a probably like more like a third down type of
a guy you're going to try to bring in
a sub package player,
a sub package player who can be in there for coverage because he's got decent quickness, or you can line him up as one of the down linemen in a 4-3 and
let
him rush in.
He's versatile. He has special teams ability.
Right.
He's not what I would term
an every down guy.
A prototypical every down type linebacker.
So who would you plug in for him then?
Well,
because we need somebody.
Well, there's nobody. That's the problem.
There's nobody.
There's
else,
nobody out there at this point in the season.
There's nobody in there. I mean, you were down to Tracy White.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, and that's a large reason I think why the Giants drove down the field.
And I'd rather have Ninkovich
in
there.
Well, it didn't help what Sergio Brown did either.
No, it didn't. No, and
no, that was a gaffe. He committed a gaffe. Brown, you know,
he said, and I've seen the play a few times, and I can kind of see where he was coming from, but. He said afterwards, my feet got tangled with the receivers. I was playing the ball. It kind of looked like it kind of, well,
we thought so too. I thought so initially. It looked uncatchable.
Yeah, it could have gone. It was very close. Watching it live, I thought he just dove into the guy.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Upon review, it looked like he might have actually tripped into the guy.
Yeah.
Either way,
it's still on him.
He made contact. It's on him.
It's unfortunate, but it happened.
Yeah. But you know what? I think the way they were driving, it was a foregone conclusion anyway.
Yeah.
So whether or not he got that penalty or not, I think the result would have been the same.
But, I mean, like, Ninkovich never gets where when they send him on the blitz, he never gets home. In coverage, he gets burnt. So there's got to be somebody else they can plug in.
Not on the roster.
Not on this team.
Not on the roster.
And I would argue, LeVar, you know what? Nobody has, you know, when they've been plugged in, has gotten to the guy when they need him. It's not just Ninkovich here. There's only one person to me that's been anywhere close to consistent in terms of applying pressure, and that's Andre Carter.
Yeah, I could agree with that, but you know, Vince Wilfork gets double team every play.
Exactly.
Just about. So,
right.
And he's one of the most consistent, if not.
I'm not banging on Vince, okay? Vince, in my estimation right now, may be the MVP of this Patriots team.
He is.
He very well could be. Because if you don't have him, then you don't even have an NFL-caliber defense right now.
I agree, because Gerard Mayo's not 100%.
Nope, that's true.
So, you know, I don't know, but that was really, that's just it. Like, there's got to be somebody. I think I heard him say Jermaine Cunningham was hurt, right?
He was a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks.
He was a healthy scratch, yeah.
Yeah, why? What has he done so bad that he just can't touch the field this year when he played decent last year?
Well, I just think that there are better players at his position this year than there were last year.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have Andre Carter out there than Jermaine Cunningham.
You know,
rather have Sean Ellis out there than Jermaine Cunningham.
Well, I'm not so sure about Ellis now, but,
you know. So you're saying he can't play stand-up linebacker?
I didn't think he could when
he
got here.
No.
I think Bill was reaching in his assessment of this player's skills. And I think
Cunningham is a poor fit.
If you ask Urban Meyer the same question, he'll give you the same answer.
Jermaine Cunningham is a poor fit for this team, unfortunately.
Wow.
He might be able to play somewhere. I don't think he plays for New England.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I guess I can understand what you're saying. But I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, why we give up so many passing yards and why we play the zone defense that we play. The teams know that we're going to do it. They know the middle's wide open every time.
Well, they just recently, and LeVar, thanks for the question. They just recently really started playing a little bit more zone. They were strictly man early in the year. That was what they were going with, and they were getting beat like a rented mule with that one. So they've had to try to mix and match as best they can. They don't have the play from the safeties to allow a zone defense to have effective coverage over the middle. And that's where you have to blame, I think, personnel needs. They woefully underestimated, you know, their ability to man the safety position. And then you let, the two safeties go that they did earlier in the year, Merriweather being one and James Sanders being the other. And
but
two guys that.
I understand why they released Merriweather, though, because they say he was a headache in the locker room.
Oh, I'd have no qualms with releasing Merriweather.
Right.
That was long overdue.
Yeah,
Sanders, I have an issue with.
Sanders is the one that we all pretty much have an issue with because he seemed to be an effective player. I know that there were some issues about his durability, but.
His coverage, too. He's not that fast.
But he was as reliable a player back there as you could get. And he's much more reliable than anybody they have there right now. Maybe with the exception of Patrick Chung.
I hope that he addresses the defense and stops saying there's no value in these picks. Hmm. I don't understand. I didn't understand that.
You're not alone, my friend.
You are not alone, LeVar. You're not alone. Let's get to Robert in Seattle. Robert, thanks for hanging on. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man.
I'm just curious about the move with Albert Haynesworth. You know, at the beginning of the season, or basically when we first got him, I thought, you know, hey, give it a shot, roll the dice. Mm-hmm. But after, you know, just like what Eric is saying, he's towing the same line to whereas, hey, I got to knock off the rust. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got guys who were improving. You know,
right.
You have Kyle Love, who basically looks like an all-star on the defensive line this year. And I've never seen him move so fast.
He's Kyle Love
compared to the previous year.
Yeah, Kyle Love has improved tremendously since last year.
My question is, I haven't gone to the practices or anything like this, but Eric, what do you think is going on with Cunningham?
Oh, I think I said it to LeVar, the previous caller. I don't think he was that good to begin with. I mean, we studied his tape like we did everybody else.
He does have the physical size. He does have the ability. But the thing is he actually applying his ability to the position that he's being?
I question that he has the ability, Robert, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what Bill saw in him to take him as high as he did. Now, if he's available in the 6th, 7th round or as a UDFA, fine, bring him in, give him a shot. But, yeah, numbers don't mean anything to me as far as height, weight, and all that stuff.
Right.
I want to see a football player and what he can do on the field. When we watched his tape, there was nothing there that stood out to me that said, boy, this guy can play. Especially when, who was it, Carlos Dunlap? Was the other guy on the other side?
Yeah.
Who was getting all the hype because he was the guy making the plays.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that Dunlap is a huge improvement over Cunningham, but if you're going to go with a guy from that system, go with the guy who's been more productive.
Okay, how do you see Nico Kudavides fitting in? What, outside?
No, he's an inside guy.
Inside guy, yeah.
Okay.
He's an inside guy, and that to me...
Because Spikes got injured?
I was going to say that's probably the impetus for bringing him back in was because...
All right. And then this new wide receiver.
Tyquan Underwood.
Yes, thank you. What's the purpose of bringing him in?
I think
simply because they don't know what's going on with Ojo and they don't know what's going on with Price?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't
expect
anything from those two.
Well, Price,
probably a little bit of everything.
Price is unreliable with the injury. I mean, I've never heard of anybody getting tightened up in a walkthrough before, mm-hmm. ever. That's unprecedented.
That signals to me this kid is not long for here.
Everything was all good and done, but game day he was scratched off the list, and I was like, "What the?"
Yeah,
okay,
well, we got
my French, but what the hell?
Right, we got the notification on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon, that he was added to the practice to the injury report.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, "No way in hell he's playing."
Nope.
Okay, I'm gonna make you guys laugh. Why don't they just bring in Buddy Farnham?
They could.
Just kidding.
Well,
you know what?
No,
you know what? Frankly, right now,
the way things have gone, it's not out of the question.
Yeah, I said yesterday, Robert. You know what? And Eric is going to yell at me for this. I think Randy Moss should come back.
Yeah,
right
Randy
now.
Moss. Oh, well, that was going to be at the top of my list.
Well,
Farnham was my.
I wouldn't have been. I would not have been surprised if Underwood wasn't the signing and Moss was. Let's just put it that way.
I've never heard of him. I honestly don't know.
He was on the team.
He was on the team. He was an undrafted rookie free agent out of Rutgers.
Okay, so he's a local.
Well, yeah. Actually, he was with the Jaguars originally. He actually played here this summer for the Jaguars.
That's right. And then he ended up coming over. That's right.
With New England for about a week. Or two at the most.
Right at the end.
And was cut at the very end of training camp.
Yep.
So is he a speedster? And I'm gonna go back in history. Is he a Bethel Johnson type of speedster?
No.
What is he?
No. He's a solid, receiver.
He's tall and lanky.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, we didn't get anybody who can
stretch the field.
No. We'll find out. Honestly, the only time we've seen him was in that, I think it was against the Giants,
that last preseason game.
And he looked like he had decent hands, but I just haven't seen enough of him to give you a reliable assessment at this point.
Okay, now I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and I'm gonna say Jets win by three this weekend simply because defense.
Again, you're not alone. I think 7 out of 8 of us picked the Jets in the paper this week.
I mean, the last 2 weeks, it's just showing me that I'll just focus on our defense right now. It's like either the moves are dissuading the rest of the players, this is a crap season, or along the lines, but the message that Bill's trying to get across to the rest of the players is not sinking in. If you can't do your job, we'll get rid of you. If you feel that you're not getting what you deserve, we'll get rid of you. If you feel that you can't be a team player, we'll get rid of you. And in Bill, I trust. I trust every move that he does simply because of his past. And that's a check he can sign. He could take it to the bank anytime. He could put any amount on it.
But you know what, Robert? All good things do come to an end.
It comes to an end. I don't have a problem with that. But I do see that no matter what, the buck stops with Bill. What Bill says goes. And if you can't live by his rules,
some would argue, Robert, that is the very problem with this team and this organization right now.
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate for you here too, if you don't mind. If you were the coach back in 2001, right?
Okay.
And you had a choice between Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady at the time. Would you have said I have to take Drew because of what he's done for us in the past?
But it was based on circumstance.
Yeah.
If it came down to right now, let's just say Brady never even replaced Drew. Okay? Drew, in my mind, would probably still be a Patriot, even to this day. But it came down to the situation as well. Let's see what the kid's got.
But it was also it wasn't
he
just
goes in and
Robert.
And he takes over.
Robert,
and
but
all
it wasn't
of a sudden flashbang.
Yeah, but
the kid's doing great.
Let me just say it wasn't just that. Let's see what the kid can do. It was they felt Drew wasn't right for them anymore.
Well, we're also talking about the injury on the sideline that put Drew out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but he was healed from that. And as he showed, he played several more years in the NFL. Had a record-setting campaign for the Bills.
When he went to Buffalo. That game, the first game that Drew and, safety.
Lawyer Malloy?
Yes, thank you. I was in my betting pool and all that stuff. This was while I was in the Navy. And I'm just like, Patriots are going to lose. And they were like, you're going against your team? I said, they deserve to lose if they're doing this.
All right, let me put it a different way. When Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, he could have kept Tom Landry because of all the good that Tom Landry had done for the Cowboys, but he felt it was time to move on.
But he brought in his own regime. So are we saying that the Kraft family is going to sell the team and bring in a new coach?
I don't know.
That's why I'm saying they're hitching all their horses and all their cards to Bill.
But listen.
Bill we trust.
It's fine in Bill we trust for the first half of his 10 years here.
Right.
But ever since then, the fact is they've lost a Super Bowl, which they should have won, and they've lost in the first.
Look at this way.
No. Are you going to let me finish? Got to hear the question first before you can answer it. When a coach or a player gets to a point when he has outlived his relevance.
I don't think he's gotten to that point.
Okay, that's fine. You can think that. But if the owners of the team feel that way at some point, they're going to have to make a decision what to do with this guy. And if they feel it's time for him to go, that's their prerogative, is it not?
Okay, we're talking this, and we have winning seasons. We have not even had a losing season with Bill Belichick. There's been only one season that we have not made the playoffs.
So far.
2002.
So far.
Thank you. But that was a winning season. So now, let's say when Vince Lombardi left the Green Bay Packers.
Well, they've had two winning seasons. They've had two winning seasons where they didn't make the playoffs. Don't forget 2008.
But I'm saying it was a championship team, championship coaching. You know, anything can happen, injuries or just a plague of whatever. Locusts, who knows? When he left the Green Bay Packers and then he decided, I honestly don't remember exactly how long he was out, but then he became the head coach of the Washington Redskins when they were the expansion team.
Who are you talking about?
Vince Lombardi.
Oh God, way back then?
Yeah. Way back when.
Yeah.
When the Redskins came in and all that happy stuff. The reason is when the message that Bill is saying is not clicking and he has losing seasons. Now, I would say that's a combination. We've only lost two games. We haven't even played the whole season.
Three games. They're 5-3.
I'm saying two games in a row.
Okay.
We've lost two games in a row. We haven't even played the whole season.
Well, Robert, look.
I let this play out.
Okay. And you know what? Ultimately, I hate to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Coach has a winning season. He should stay.
All right. Okay. I think that's fair. And thanks for the phone call, Robert. You know, you're always welcome on the show. I've got other guys here I want to get to. But let me say this. What you have to recognize here, and I appreciate your passion. Robert is not only a regular caller, he's a regular poster. I mean, and he's obviously a regular listener, and clearly he's a passionate Patriots fan. All we're suggesting here is that you have to recognize the signs. And Eric's played the game. I've been around the game for 30 plus years myself. And you have to recognize the signs when things are, shall we say, on the, let's just say when the tide's going out. All right. Tide's going out right now on New England. Tide is headed out to sea. Now, how do you correct? I'm not sure in this instance that you do. I told you yesterday on the show that I said this on the show yesterday for those that weren't here. I purposely stayed away from local media in the aftermath of the game Sunday. Because I wanted to hear a different perspective. It may not be the right perspective. It may not be the perspective you want to hear. But I listened to national media on Sunday night and Monday. I did not turn on EEI here locally once. I did not turn on 98.5 The Sports Hub once on Monday. Wasn't listening. And the reason I didn't is because I wanted to completely focus on my own thoughts and see how they meshed with what the outside perception is of what's going on in New England. Because, frankly, we haven't been down this road in a long time. So am I crazy to think that, you know, this could be the beginning of the end? Or, like Robert just said, it's just two losses, big deal. All right. The national perception here, gang, is that the Patriots ship has sailed. All right. Everybody, from the Chris Mortensons to the Mark Schlereths to, you know, the John Claytons to everybody. I mean, you have to look at the NFL power rankings this week. The Patriots plummeted all the way to 12th. On ESPN.com, I believe. And there's a reason behind that. Because there are other people that have covered this game and followed this team and been in the league long enough to recognize the trouble signs, the warning signs of a team that is on an outward ebb, if you will. Ebb and flow, this is ebb.
Denouement.
Yes.
French. That's your word of the day, John.
Yeah, denouement.
Your cultural word of the day.
Yes. Very
nice. Literary word of the day.
You think Olivier can help us with that one? Is that a proper term, Olivier?
You know what? That's a good point. I didn't hear what Eric said.
Denouement.
Denouement, yes.
Si.
It's the it's kind of the end of the day. It's like when things fall apart.
After the climax.
It's almost the undressing of something. It also has an erotic term, which I like.
Yes. We never get into that.
Well, thanks for adding that, Olivia. I sure appreciate that. But you know what, though? The term, I think, is appropriate because I think that's what we're witnessing here. That's what most analysts looking at the NFL are thinking about the Patriots, and I really believe that opinion is either going to be debunked or solidified one way or the other with this Sunday's game.
Yeah, but everyone hates the Pats. Everyone is always looking for something.
I don't think so. No, I think you're wrong. I think you're absolutely wrong about that. I think there's a perception that the national media, a lot of people in the national media, hate the Pats. No, I don't think so. I really don't. I think that it's a natural tendency for people who apparently don't have rooting interests to look at the teams on top and say, how do you beat them? And then you also take a look at the teams who are down on the bottom and say, how do they win? I mean, we were all Lions fans a couple of years ago, right? Well, I mean, you know, but that's not what the media is paid to do. Now that the Lions are good, it's like, okay, so how do you beat them? Or at least they've improved. Mm. I don't really believe there are at least people that I know in the national media, and you know some of the same guys I know, Eric. They're not anti-Patriot. They're just not. You're not paid to be anti-Patriot. You're paid to be somewhat analytical. And if you have a bias in your analysis, then that's going to come back to bite you, and your career as an analyst is going to be short-lived.
And I would add that most of those guys who have the bias are former players.
Yes.
Who have an axe to grind.
That I would agree with. Guys like Warren Sapp and some of the others out there.
Marshall Faulk.
Shannon Sharp. They have bias, and they probably have some bias against the Patriots from their playing days. So that's why you always have to treat ex-players with a grain of salt when you listen to their analysis. You have to understand, all right, where do they play? Where are they coming from? Did they have any trouble around here or with this team or with any of these coaches or with any of these other players previously? You want to know who's a good analyst right now in terms of NFL? I'll tell you who I think is a good analyst on ESPN. Schlereth is a good analyst, okay? The guy they call Stink. He was an offensive lineman, and I generally tend to believe offensive linemen are some of the most intelligent players to play the game. Because they have to be because of the keys they have to read and everything else. I work with Pete Brock, who you know, former Patriot, and I work with him doing college football. Very, very bright. He's excellent at what he does in breaking down the college game. So, you know, he's a good one. There are a couple of other good ones. I think Troy Aikman's pretty good on Fox. I think he's pretty good. I think Joe Buck's horrendous, but I think Aikman makes him better. Just for a couple of examples to go by, all right? Other than that, you really have to kind of look at guys and treat them individually. Some players are passable. Some players are plausible. Other players clearly have a bias. You just have to weed through the muck. But as far as the anchors, the studio guys, they don't have bias. A lot of guys grew up as either Jets or Giants fans if they're from New York or they went to Syracuse or whatever. I think they do a pretty good job of holding their bias. Hell, I have a Cowboy bias. I've admitted it, Olivier, because I grew up there. Well, thank you very much for that. But I grew up there. But I also understand, though, that, you know, hey, I got a job to do. So I set my bias aside when I'm actually trying to be somewhat diplomatic and trying to be somewhat analytical about things. Yeah. I try to do that in this program every week about the Patriots, and the Patriots give me a paycheck. Okay.
I think what I meant to say is that not everyone hates the Pats, but what I meant to say is that everyone is quick to point out that, you know, we're no longer the dynasty we used to be. We've evolved as an organization, we've evolved as a team, and we keep on evolving.
Correct.
And therefore, what we are witnessing right now is just another evolution. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's a positive evolution, but it's some kind of an evolution. And I think the fact that, you know, we have players now that we've picked up on the streets that we are trying to teach them how to play football at the national level is just a testament to the fact that, you know, we've made maybe some wrong acquisitions and wrong trades with people that were not physically ready or fit, whatever. That's the risk that we took. That's the predicament that we are in right now. But is it enough to have some talent and some heart for people to play, for us to get out of that slum? And it's kind of what I wanted to ask Eric. You know, he's lucky to, you know, to go to the dressing room, the training facilities. He sees different things. He talks to people. Eric, do you see right now a change of mentality where people are kind of doing some soul searching and say, what can we do, if anything, to get better? We've got the talent that we have, but is there like this spark that, you know, we will ignite a renaissance of talent and of heart and of interest within the team?
My sense is that they realize who they are and what they are and what their ceiling is. and they keep having to answer questions every week about, are you getting better? Are you seeing? And they're giving us the same answer every week. Oh, we have to go look at the film. Oh, we have to improve. Those are generic platitudes that they're giving us. I think they know that they're not a very good defense. I think they know they have some weaknesses on offense, but they can't come out and say that to us, Olivier, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
But they're getting exposed every week with every loss for being a team that's not very good overall. Yeah. There is some talent individually. The Gronkowskis. Brady is still at the top of his game, although he's in a little bit of a slump right now.
Yeah, he's struggling right now.
You would still take him over any other quarterback.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same thing with a coach, by the way.
Although I think I have to think real long and hard about Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah, you would.
If I had a choice between Rodgers and Brady.
But I tell you what, Olivier, somebody asked me on Ask PFW, and I didn't get a chance to answer it just because of space considerations, but they said, go through the defensive roster and tell me how many players currently would have started on the 03 or 04 defense. And I could think of one, Vince Wilfork. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, of course.
That's really it.
As far as starters.
Signor Forchetta. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Italian
version
of it. Yeah, you can let me in on this now?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah, the other day, Vince tweeted out that he was at my favorite Italian restaurant, Trattoria Romana in Lincoln, Rhode Island. And
gotcha.
He said, I'm here with my Italian cousins, and my new name is Vincenzo Guglielmo Forchetta, which is literally the translation for Vince Wilfork.
Wilfork, yes. Right. Mm.
Vince William
Fork.
Which I thought was very cute.
Yeah, goodbye him.
Yes. He actually, Vince looks like my uncle in Italy.
Does he really?
Yes, but he just...
Maybe you're related then.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do any football. He just drinks too much wine and too much pasta.
And he'll probably live to be 95 like they all do.
Yes,
that's good. I like that.
Absolutely.
All right, Olivia, what else you got? Anything?
Well, the other thing that I wanted to discuss is, I've seen that they sign new guys. I mean, it's kind of the same people that they cut before and that they're re-signing. So obviously, that's another testament that there is no good quality outside. And I think John and I talked about it yesterday. There is nothing outside on the field or on the streets that, you know,
is
a diamond in the rough.
There's not.
And that's usually the way it is at this point in the year anyway.
Not just this season.
I
mean, we signed another wide receiver. That's concerning to me because, we've seen what this guy is capable of. We cut him and then we bring him back. So does it mean that, A, the Moss experiment is absolutely done, right or wrong? Or does it mean that, you know, we've come to the conclusion that, Moss is not physically and athletically capable of handling his own on the field and even poses a psychological threat to other teams?
Yeah. Well, No, that's all right. Go ahead. Finish.
No, that's it. That's it. I think.
Well, I was just going to say, look, I really believe that the ship has sailed on Moss.
Yes,
but
I know.
Here's the argument that I made yesterday, and here's why I argue that they should even at least think about bringing him back. They should consider it because this team is going to face, eight in the box. Wes Welker is getting the crap beat out of him as he goes across the middle. Gronk got beat up, although Gronk overcame that this last week. Mm-hmm. Both did. But how much longer are those two guys going to be able to withstand getting killed?
I don't think they will.
Okay.
I don't think they
will. So that's why I think Moss actually makes as much sense as any signing right now because Moss commands respect. Whether you throw to him or not, he's going to force you to pull one of those guys out of the box. Okay. Just going to happen.
As Bill being a strategist and someone that likes to win wars before they are being fought, Moss represents a psychological surprise, a psychological mystery,
which
I think we should exploit. And I don't understand why we don't.
Because I think
I'll let you finish that one.
Well, I think the bridge was burned irreparably last year.
I think the bridge was burned. It probably could be reconstructed, but there's not enough time left in his career. I mean, he's basically at the end of his career already anyway. I wouldn't say he napalmed the bridge, but I definitely think he set it on fire.
But by the way, even if there is a bridge to be reconstructed, or whether or not that bridge is too far, we still don't know what type of athletic capability he still possesses to be able to come back to the national theater. We don't even know that.
I think they saw that. I think we saw it at the end of his tenure.
I think they saw it too,
and I think that's why they decided he was not worth the trouble.
When he left here, Olivier, he couldn't do it in Minnesota. He couldn't do it in Tennessee.
Yeah, we saw it in Minnesota when he left, didn't we not?
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, people are using the name as a as a memory of positivity and of success.
Right. More so
to
than
to address an emotional gap that we have within the team.
That's
and
right. Yeah. It's a sign. It's a sign of desperation.
Yes, yeah. That's all it is. Frankly, you know, if you're going to sign, you know, Tyquan Underwood, with all due respect, you might as well sign Randy Moss.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. He knows the system. You know, he knows people. You know, he commands certain type of respect. Even if he's a decoy, he probably does much more than the people we have now.
That's exactly why I said it, because I feel like, you know, hey, at this stage, we could use just about anything. So
yeah, because look at Ocho Cinco. I heard he's a great guy. He works super hard, and you know, bless his heart, and you know, he's good at training and so forth. He's got a hard time after 8 weeks to translate his performance on the training ground onto the field.
Yeah, he can't.
So even if Randy doesn't try, he's probably going to do much better than, you know, Ocho trying to do his best and his
correct.
Heart out.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Anyway, that's what I had to say, guys. I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Thanks.
Okay. Eric, nice talking to you, and thanks, John, for your hospitality.
Olivier, thank you for your participation.
A bientôt.
he's definitely a knowledgeable guy. All right, let's get a break in here, and then we'll come back. Obviously, you know the drill. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you haven't submitted the friend request, we'll answer that. Then you can post, and you can message, and you can chat on the Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter, @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. I do have one question I want to ask you today that we'll start getting to the second hour. And again, Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential will join us in hour number two. But the question I had today is, realistically speaking, okay, this week against the Jets, one of two things is going to happen. Either A, the Patriots are going to assume control of the division with a win over the Jets, because then they'll hold they'll hold the margin over the Jets. They'll have swept them. Or they're going to fall in danger of missing the playoffs altogether if they lose. Mm-hmm. There's really very little middle ground. Which do you think is more likely to happen this week? Webradio@patriots.com.
That's a good question, John.
Or you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508.
Can I give you my answer before I go?
298-0398. Yes, you may, and we'll do it right after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So I think, you guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Right, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Oh, man. John Rook with Eric Scalavino. He's going to be here for a couple more minutes. And
sometimes
then
I really wish we could tell stories that we tell during the break.
That was a good story, wasn't it? I told a story.
No, we don't have to go into
it. No, we don't have to go into details,
like,
but
I
did tell a story that Eric thought was particularly good. And it is a good story. One of these days. All right, the question I asked, again, off the top, right, was really an evaluation question more than anything else. What I need you to do is consider, at the very least, the game this Sunday against the Jets, where the Patriots, it's going to be one or the other. There's really no middle ground. They're either going to assume control of the division or they're going to be hurt badly in the division. Mm-hmm. In fact, they can't stay in second place. If they don't stay in first, they're dropping to third if they lose. Mm-hmm. That's just it. There's no possibility of second place. They're going to automatically drop to third because even if Buffalo loses to Dallas with a tiebreaker, Buffalo holds the tiebreaker right now.
They do, yeah.
So this could leave them literally on the outside looking in as far as the postseason. would also be three straight losses, which is almost unprecedented for a Belichick team.
The last time it happened was during a four-game losing streak in 02.
02, right, which is, as we all know, which was the down year.
Yep.
All right, so here you go. The question is, what's more likely to happen? Either assume control of the division or fall in danger of missing the postseason? That's the question I want you to answer. You can call in. You can send us email. You can post on Facebook. What do you think, Biggie?
I have to go with what I predicted, which in the paper, it's in writing. I picked the Jets to win this week. I think that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. I think New England's going to lose their third straight, and they're going to fall to third in the AFC East. The only good news about that is there are so many teams in the AFC that are bunched up at around that 3-4 loss mark that with all this football left to be played, so much can happen. I still think, actually, John, even if they lose this Sunday to the Jets, looking at their schedule, I legitimately think they could go 6-2, have a better second half than a first
because
half.
Because the schedule does
because
ease
the schedule
up.
Has some very winnable opponents on it.
So then if they lose this Sunday, you're thinking they can win 6 of the last 7?
I think they could still win 6 of the last 7.
I still don't think it would be good enough, though, because the Jets it have might not an be. Equally as easy schedule.
Well,
It might not be because there also might be teams in other divisions.
Well, this is the point that I made yesterday. The AFC,
like the
North,
AFC North is
dynamite.
Right.
I mean, because you have Cincinnati, which is a huge
6-2 right now.
And you got Baltimore and you got Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be, a wild card's coming from that division. Mm-hmm. You might be lucky to get a wild card or two even. So you're the AFC East, which has had one and we think capable this year of two,
right,
might not even get one wild card this year.
Right.
So if you go 6-1 and lose this week, you're still going to finish up 10-6, right? Is that right?
If they go 6-2, they'll be 11-5.
11-5.
Yeah.
11-5.
Might not do it. And that wouldn't be unprecedented either, because that's what they were in 08 when they didn't make the playoffs.
Right. 11-5 might not do it.
So, the world won't come to an end Sunday if they lose to New York, but
you can see it from here.
You can see it, yeah.
You'll be able to see it from here, yes.
Right. You, Sarah Palin can see Russia from from her backyard.
I think that's probably true. I think that's probably true.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Well, lay it this direction, will you, sweetie? Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. All right, Biggie, go right.
I will see you tomorrow. Yep. Wolf for Prediction Thursday.
Yes, indeed. We will definitely do that. All right, Eric Scalavino, PFW. Let's continue with Dante in North Carolina. Hey, Dante, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Good, man. What's up?
That's good. I just want to make two comments, man. I'm gonna ask you a question about the Jets.
Go.
About the game.
Yep.
But the first one, when y'all was talking about Randy Moss, y'all think the guy said he might be doing this stuff. I really don't think he's done, man, as far as playing, you know. I mean, he might have like one or two more years. I give him that. Because you really got, look at it, when he did get traded, the Minnesota, man, look at that ball when Brett Favre threw to him. He could have caught that ball, man.
Okay.
I think he still got enough of speed. He just wasn't happy. He was telling Robert Kraft near him that, right then and there, that he didn't want to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I know where you're going. And frankly, I sort of share some of your thoughts, but I just don't know that the Patriots want to revisit that. They don't have the track record of doing anything like that. And because of that, I'm guessing, you know, I mean, they did go after and they got Taquan Underwood, and I don't know if that's going to be, you know, I don't know if that's going to help them at all. I don't even know if he sees the light of the day on the field this year. As much as, you know, I think he'd at least be a great decoy. I frankly, my mouth will hit the floor if they sign Randy Moss. Okay?
Yeah, it seems like they should. If both of them want to win, they should go ahead and kiss and make up, man. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I mean, again, I don't argue with that, Dante. I really don't. I agree with you. The one thing that Randy Moss could provide is at least respect.
Yep.
He could cause the defense to respect his ability, or at least the former ability that he had, because, well, if we chance it and we don't cover him, he's going to burn us.
Yep.
And I think he's still got that kind of ability. But
yeah,
But I don't think the Patriots want to risk that. I think they kind of want, I really believe they want to move on. Hell, they just moved on from Albert Haynesworth. So what makes you think they're going to not want to move on from Andy Moss? And that was a year ago.
You got a point. I guess they're going to have to keep on losing me with the players they got. That's where look at it.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think.
And I would just want to ask you another question.
Okay.
Do you think Darren Shopper will help us, man, at this time of point?
No. No. And the reason that he won't is because if he could, he would already be here. That's the bottom line. If he could help, I mean, you know, he hasn't been anywhere all year. He hasn't played in over a year. If he could help, he'd already be here. They worked him out earlier this year. Now, it may very well be a numbers thing. If they lose any more guys to the IR with Josh Barrett going on the IR today, then, okay, you know what? It might happen. But I really believe he'd already be here. All right, got a quick surprise for you here, simply because he joined us a few weeks ago when the Patriots and the Jets went the first go-around again and enjoyed talking to Bob Wischusen, who's the radio voice of the New York Jets, and he joins us here inside the playbook. Bob, thanks for a couple of minutes today. Sure appreciate it.
No worries, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Let's kind of start with the status quo here. It seems to me that these two teams have kind of traveled in opposite directions since the last meeting, and coming into this one, you'd have to say that, you know, clearly things will look a little bit different in terms of favoring the Jets going into this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at the last 2 weeks and the way both teams have played, there has been a departure with what we saw through the first 5 or 6 weeks. Patriot offense doesn't look like the same group, and the Jets collectively don't look like the same group. They've been more physical, and yeah, they've been more, more like the team we've seen in the past, a team that has the ability from a physical standpoint to kind of dictate to the other team. That's certainly what they did in the second half against San Diego, and that's certainly what they did, especially with their defense, throughout the game in Buffalo.
What has been the key to the change, do you think?
Well, I think it's been twofold. Number one, and maybe both kind of play into their offensive line, but their offensive line has been much more physical. They've run the ball. And for the Jets, you know, Mark Sanchez, I think, is still a player that is developing. He has a lot of potential, but he's going to be at his best when he is part of an overall game plan that allows him to use play action, to control the clock, to, you know, use misdirection, to get out of the pocket, bootleg. All of those things work when you're running the ball. So they've done a better job of protecting him and a better job of running the ball. And their defense, really from halftime of the San Diego game through the entirety of the Buffalo game, that Buffalo game was really, overall a very complete game played by the Jets defense. They've really dictated to the opposition. They've controlled the line of scrimmage, and they've been much more disciplined in their run fits, especially not allowing containment break runs to the outside. That had been their problem, coming into the San Diego game, and they seem to have it fixed, and they look like a different defense if they cut that up.
Okay. As far as your defense is concerned in the physical play, we saw, you know, Darrell Revis match up quite a bit with Wes Welker, even though that there wasn't a concerted effort to target Welker, I don't think, as we thought originally that might be the case, when Revis was on him. Do you see that matchup again? Is it as important this time as it was last time around for the Jets?
I think it's a great question. I would think that, yes, you probably would see it again, but I'm very curious in this game to see. I mean, I know the Jets will have probably more defensive backs active for the game than they normally have. That's usually, they have usually 10 or 11 DBs active when they play the Patriots because of the nature of the Patriot offense. But there were several times in the first meeting between the two teams where you saw Tom Brady, you know, kind of personnel the Jets or scheme the Jets' best players off the field. And as a result, you know, I'm curious to see how the Jets deploy their defensive backs in this game. Are they going to play with 6 and 7 on the field at all times?
Hmm.
Are they going to try and play a little more, you know, aggressive coverage to make sure that then Jarvis Green-Ellis doesn't have 6 and 7 yards at his disposal at all times? To me, that was the number one factor, especially in the kill the clock drive at the end of the first matchup when the Jets were back in the game.
Right.
And the Patriots moved down the field and iced the game with that 7-minute drive. And they were in midfield by the time the Jets weren't playing with 6 and 7 defensive backs. And Tom Brady just kept checking the runs and it kept working. So, you know, the Patriots have such a pick your poison offense where, you know, if you're not convinced that your linebackers, outside guys especially, can cover, and you're going to put 6 and 7 DBs on the field, and Brady's going to keep on checking the runs, at what point do you adjust, and then he starts to throw. So, you know, the game plan this weekend is very, very interesting.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that at least over the last couple of weeks, Pittsburgh and then this last week the Giants have figured out, you know, at least pretty solid game plan in order to at least slow the Patriots offense down. A lot of that has to do with being able to hold on to the ball yourself. And with the Jets, we saw some improvement in the running games over the last couple of weeks. They certainly headed in that direction. How much more comfortable is Plaxico Burress in the Jets offense, and do you expect him to perhaps get a little bit more of a share of the attention, knowing that that has got to be a weak link, that's got to be an Achilles heel for the Patriots defensively?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that, you know, you've seen what I think was what you anticipated with Burress, that you knew he was going to look like a different player 8 or 9 weeks into the season than he looked like in the first couple of weeks. And he will probably look like a different player towards the end of the season than he looks now. I don't know that it was anything, you know, schematic. I don't know if it was a grasp of a playbook as much as it is he was not playing football. He was in jail for 2 years. And I think now he's more just getting comfortable in his own skin playing football again. So, you know, the one thing that the element that he gives them that is very hard, even when he wasn't himself 2 weeks ago. You know, the San Diego game was kind of the breakout game. He had 3 touchdowns. He only had, I think, 4 catches in the game, and 3 of them were touchdowns, and they were all in tight in the red zone. Even when he's not 100%, that's the element that he gives them. He is a big body that they can throw it up to in the red zone, and he can make a play. And, you know, he's been very, very good, especially in recent weeks, at doing that.
Well, I think Bob, and again, Bob Wischusen is the radio voice of the Jets joining us here in the playbook. I think that, you know, the way that the Jets have sort of evolved since the last meeting between these two teams, it plays, you know, this plays very well for them, and it attacks the Patriots right where they may be most vulnerable. And you probably are beginning to now understand, I don't feel too good about New England's chances in this game based on what we've seen. Now, we've seen, of course, in the past, you know, Belichick and Brady and company, you know, come up with a doozy whenever they need it most, when their backs are to the wall. But fact is that, you know, the Jets want to control the ball, and that's what's beating the Patriots. Fact is, the Jets want to play physical. That's what's beating the Patriots. Fact is, the Jets have been able to take advantage of some mistakes, and that's what's hurt the Patriots over the last couple of weeks. Some shooting themselves in the foot with turnovers and the like. Why, if they don't win, why will the Jets not win? Can you come up with a negative?
Well, the Jets have had some self-inflicted wounds themselves.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Mark Sanchez has given the ball away. He threw another end zone interception this past week against Buffalo. He fumbled a shotgun snap that was right in his hand. The Jets had 6 penalties in the first half. So this past week, at halftime, Ryan Fitzpatrick had 74 yards passing. Actually, I think at halftime, the Bills might have had 74 yards of total offense.
Wow.
That actually might have been the number. And the Jets were winning 3-0. And the reason they were winning 3-0 was because their offense, no matter how many opportunities the defense kept giving them, their offense sputtered throughout the first half. And remember the last time these two teams met, Jets had 11 possessions in the game, and 7 of the 11 were 3 and out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, the first drive of the game against Buffalo, they took the ball from their own, I don't know what it was, 6 or 7 yard line. I mean, they deferred the opening kickoff. The Bills went 3 and out, but, you know, Moorman got off the bomb of a punt. Jets start from their own 6 yard line. And they take it, I was 14, 15, 16 plays, 10 minutes off the clock. And Sanchez throws an interception in the end zone to end the first possession of the game. So they still are a team that is mistake-prone at times, and they can keep the opposition in a game in much the same way. So I still believe, I mean, no matter how well their defense plays, no matter how well they're playing right now collectively as a whole, you still have to play 60 complete minutes to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, and I don't care how bad the Patriot defense is right now. The Jet offense, oftentimes, regardless of the quality of the defense they're playing, they sometimes short-circuit because of a lack of their own execution. And they went 3 and out 7 times out of 11 possessions against this same defense 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's still a gray area there for the Jets in terms of their own offensive execution to see how well they'll play. Now, I think being at home is going to help them. They've been better at home than they've been on the road.
Sure.
But I don't think they'll ever look at a game against the Patriots as some kind of a layup. And gets all kinds. You know, this one has their attention. There's no question.
Yeah. Well, this certainly is a huge game in the AFC East. It goes without saying when you got three teams at 5-3 all up at the top. You know, do you feel like if the Jets don't win, because this would give them two losses to New England, that it would severely damage their chances to win this division if they lose?
Well, yeah, because then the head-to-head tiebreaker's gone. So then you have to finish a full game ahead of the Patriots.
Right.
And you'd be behind half the midway point of the season. So, you know, the Jets have a lot of winnable games coming up. They go to Denver. They've got Kansas City. They've got Buffalo coming into their place in 2 weeks, and I think they should beat the Bills at home. They've got another game against the Dolphins at the end of the year. I mean, the Jets have a lot of games that they can win. But if the Patriots win this game and kind of right the ship and get to 6-3, I don't know how many people don't think the Patriots would at least be a 10-win team, if not an 11-win team. And the Jets at that point would have four losses, which means they'd have to run the table in order to be a 12-win team. I mean, they would probably need at least that to finish a clear game ahead of the Patriots. So, yes, I mean, if you want to win your division, you need to beat your division opponents at home. And so if they are able to do that on Sunday, they would be, I think, almost the same favorite over the Patriots to win the division as the Patriots would be over them if they win it, because the Jets would have split the head-to-head, so that tiebreaker now becomes a wash. The Patriots would have two division losses. The only two division games the Jets would have left would be Buffalo at home and at Miami, and I think they'd be a pretty significant favorite to win both of those. So now they would be looking at only needing to tie New England, and most likely they would be division champs. I mean, that becomes an exponentially easier goal to achieve. So I don't think it's going out on a limb to say this is the game for the division on Sunday night.
I would tend to agree with you on that one. Bob, hey, thanks for a couple of minutes. I know you're on the run and in transit, but we'll see you on Sunday night.
No worries, guys.
Appreciate it. Bob Wischusen, radio voice of the New York Jets, joining us here in the playbook. All right, let me talk to this lovely lady who joined us yesterday as well. Lashana in Las Vegas. Officer Lashana, how are you?
What's up, John? How you doing?
I'm great. Then thanks for hanging on. I appreciate that.
No, it's okay. I forgot to tell you thank you and congratulations on your wedding.
No, it wasn't me. It was Pete.
Oh, I thought you got married.
Pete got married. I'm very single, by the way.
Oh, so you're available.
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll have to meet up then.
Didn't realize this is going to be a dating machine here, did you?
No, I didn't. I guess I'm going to give you, I know everyone else wants a technical answer.
Sure.
And they're going to give you a technical answer. And I think it's more mental for Tom Brady. I boxed amateur for 5 years, and in the boxing world, there's no intercourse the week before your big event.
Mm-hmm,
so I think Tom and Giselle need to chill out,
back off a little bit, let him get his legs underneath him. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I think he needs to stay away from that over the weekend. I think Tom is going to get chewed out by Bill about that picture, and he'll be mentally back in the game. He just got to, not the week of the, you know, maybe 5 days.
Lashana, you're just taking over the lead as my all-time favorite caller.
He needs 5 days. You know, that's the way it is.
Oh, wow. That's just fantastic. You know what? I'm glad you said that, because I don't think too many people have the guts to say that. But frankly, you know what? You don't know. I mean, the whole point of yesterday's conversation, and for those that missed the conversation, I posted up on my Facebook page a photo of, you know, that somebody took of Tom and Giselle and their 2-year-old son and the dog. A little Pekingese looking thing out of a basket on the front of this bike built for two, this tandem bike, and it was up on Barstool Sports yesterday, and you know, it was ridiculous. Nobody really knows when the picture was taken, but the inference was that this is how he spent his pregame preparation before the game on Sunday against the Giants, which of course the Patriots happened to lose. We don't know when the picture was taken, but I put it up there just to stimulate conversation. I got 31 stinking responses off of it, and I really did it again just for kind of grins and giggles, but some people kind of, like, you know, chastised me for taking it seriously, and then there were others that were saying that I'm way off base and how dare I, you know, call Tom Brady's integrity into question. And look, the bottom line here is this: Tom has his life. Tom can choose to do what he does. He's an adult, and I'm sure he prepares more so than any other player on this team. I think we all know that. We've seen it. He's talked about it. It's been demonstrated. But I think everybody also knows this is a game, LaShawna. This is a game in which you are no better than the last time you stepped on the field.
Exactly.
All right? And if the last time you stepped on the field you sucked, then you suck. It's that simple. Now, I'm willing to throw him a little bit of slack, okay, because he is Tom Brady, and he still is at least right now one of the two best quarterbacks that are currently active in the NFL. Got no problem with that. Tom has led this team to 3 Super Bowl wins. Got no problem with that. But it's all about what are you doing for me now, not, you know, what have you done for me lately. It's what are you doing for me now. And I think
exactly.
That's – we have the right to question that.
And I said that because as an athlete and people in professional –
sure.
You know, especially professional athletes will tell you that mentally you just have to be there. And I'm not saying that Tom is, you know, in space, because I know that his dedication to his craft is probably up there with Manning. But at the end of the day, mentally he has not been there the past, I would say. I would even go say 2.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's less technical and more he's not focused.
Right. I think your point is well taken, and you know that was the whole reason behind trying to just create the conversation yesterday. And you know, I don't want people to think I'm anti-Tom or that I'm actually, you know, going off the deep end and saying that, you know, well, Brady's the reason we lost the game. No, it was a team effort. He certainly contributed to that effort. And Tom's got some work to do. He's not hitting on all cylinders right now. He's not in sync with more than just Ocho Cinco. And he's relying obviously right now on Gronk and on Welker, and that those are two great guys to rely on, but he's also getting the crap beat out of those two guys going over the middle.
But John, even go back to the Steeler game. I don't know if you watched this. You know how he's always raving about Polamalu.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is on the line. He's under center. He's getting ready to call the play, but he checks. Polamalu comes up to the line, listens to him, steps back, and then the run play is totally gone. Polamalu kills it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's becoming predictable. Not so much the play calling, but his checks are becoming predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched it. You got to watch that game. Watch Palomo come up to the line, listen to the check, and kill the run play that Tom called.
Okay.
If you watch it, you'll see it. Palomo is a totally different player. Grant, one of the greatest defensive players I believe that's ever played the game. But I just watched little things. Some teams are catching on.
That's interesting. Now, you know what? I'll watch the next time I watch a Steeler game and see what I can figure out. I think you're right. I think that's, you know, not only is he a physical player and he's got great individual athletic talents, but his ability to adjust on the fly, as you suggest, is probably what makes him an all-pro.
I agree. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Well, we're going to hook up one of these days, okay?
We have to.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right, man.
Thanks, LaShawna.
You're welcome.
All right, so that's Officer LaShawna checking in. Sounds like I'm covered in Vegas. What do you think, Kev? Not only is she an officer, she's a boxer. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, she'd kick your ass probably.
Well, that's okay. I'd need her to, you know, run interference for me. How about that? How about having a woman come to your defense? How great is that? Something I certainly haven't had. I've taken enough abuse. All right, let's get a break in here, and then we got Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential, who's coming up. We're going to get to your emails as well, right here in the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Drawing.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah. No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Also, hit me up on Facebook as well, but webradio at patriots.com email address. I just got taken to task by Nancy. Hello, I understand that the Pats have lost, but stop throwing them under the bus. Shame on you. We will see when the pads are on and they go on the field. Until then, go Pats. All right, Nancy, that's great to know that you're a fan, and don't question your loyalty at all. One of the things that you'll realize if you're a relative newcomer to our programming here is that we're not all cheerleaders, and we're not all homers, and we actually do try to call it as we see it and look at some things somewhat analytically. So to say that, you know, we're throwing them under the bus, well, frankly, they kind of deserve to be thrown under the bus. And, you know, that's just the way it is. When they correct themselves, believe me, we pat them on the back and give them all the plaudits that they need. But when there are changes that need to be made, we point that out. That's our job, and that's why we have conversation. If we didn't have, you know, the ability to nitpick as we do, especially on Tuesdays here in the program and our now infamous Nitpick Tuesday show, then we wouldn't have much of a show. And you probably wouldn't have this ability to listen to us online. So, but thank you anyway. Appreciate that. Chad sends this about the question I asked earlier today, and the question for those that may be tuning in a little bit late, really kind of a sort of a look ahead question. But the question I have is, you know, the Patriots are either going to assume control of the division or fall in danger of missing the postseason based on winning or losing against the Jets this Sunday. Which, in your estimation, is more likely to happen? That's the question I have for you. Chad says, pardon me if I'm a bit long, but I won't get the chance to post my opinion for a while. Sunday's loss is unfortunate. It's even more unfortunate for people like me since I have to stay up until 1 in the morning for a loss. I understand our fans' frustrations. They all mean a lot, yada, yada. I'm kind of going through this a little bit, Chad, because quite frankly, yeah, okay. Well, you don't even answer the question I ask. Okay, well, so answer to John's question. I'm looking through it here, and I don't see the answer. Okay. Nice try. I'm not sure what else to do. Bruce sends this. While I love listening to you guys, I also...
retarded or something.
While I love listening to you guys, I also make the effort to listen to what people outside the Patriots community have to say, which is what I did on Monday. Fact is, because of the Patriots' past success, analysts and coaches have been trying for years to figure out how to beat the Patriots, analyzing strengths and weaknesses, and adopting the Patriot best practices. Look at the increase of tight end use, individual game planning, and just the way other players and coaches talk about like the Patriots. It's no wonder, with all that effort, it's harder for the Pats to win. You know, Bruce, that's actually a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because indeed, that is part of the problem. Patriots keep having to reinvent themselves because so many teams do take a look at what the Patriots do. So many teams, I mean, all of sport is sports are copycat. We call the NFL a copycat league. Well, sure it is. The NBA is a copycat league. Baseball is a copycat league. College basketball and college football are copycat leagues. And yes, they're leagues. Don't ever think that they're not leagues. They are. Everybody copycats everybody because if something works, someone wants to see if it can apply to their particular situation and it might work for them. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so because the Patriots have had that kind of success, sure, teams are going to copy it. Teams are going to try to mimic it. They want their own success. The trick is being able to adjust on the fly and reinvent yourself. Patriots have done a good job of reinventing themselves over the course of the last decade. Right now, they're struggling to reinvent themselves. It's just that simple. There's no question that they're going to attempt to do that, but it just doesn't seem with some of the personnel decisions that they've arrived at that that's possible, maybe for the immediate future, maybe even for the rest of this season, maybe even for next year, because they just don't have the players. All right, Dan Leberfeld covers the Jets for Jets Confidential, and he joins us here inside Patriots Playbook. What do you think about that, Dan, in terms of being a copycat league? Is there some credibility? Do you kind of believe that, you know, a lot of teams, Jets certainly notwithstanding, have taken a look at what, some of the success that teams have had like the Patriots and tried to apply some of that to their own needs or their own philosophies and try to make it work for themselves?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a copycat league, and when a certain plan works against a certain team, it's going to be copied until that team can change up a little bit. And look at the Wildcat. That was a hot trend a few years ago, and it looked like teams figured out how to stop it better. You don't see it that much anymore. So there's no question teams look at how certain teams stop other teams, like the way the Jets dealt with Buffalo was a good plan. I'm right. Sure the Dallas Cowboys will borrow a page from that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the Jets and the Patriots seem to be traveling in a little bit opposite directions since their meeting about a month ago. Where do you feel like the Jets have improved most, and is there still improvement to be had?
Well, I think a few areas they've improved. Number one, I think that Mark Sanchez is now on the same page with Plaxico Burress, mm-hmm. who was added in the summer. Obviously, there was no off season, and he got out of jail, you know, right before camp. So I don't know if he would have had an off season anyway. But when you look at that situation, the chemistry is much better the last two or three games. They struggled early in the year; they were a work in progress. So that's one area. The offensive line for the Jets is much better. Nick Mangold had a high ankle sprain, missed basically two games. The game he was injured in early, then the next game. He's back and healthy, and he's made a tremendous difference. So offensive line's better, so that has created a better running game for the Jets. And also, I think, their ability to get Plaxico Burress more involved. Those are some areas right there.
30-21 back in week five. Do you feel like there are elements of that game that the Jets might be able to use to their advantage now, or as we progress this season, and this is kind of where I sit, but I'm interested in your opinion. As you progress the season, I really kind of believe that, you know, while you certainly can look at some player personnel groupings and some tendencies, I'm not sure that, you know, as you get deeper into the season, that there's a whole lot of use for film and game planning from earlier in the season because teams evolve over the course of the year. How do you feel like the Jets handle that in particular?
Well, I think when you look at the first matchup, the Jets played a coverage approach, dropping a lot of players like they did in the playoffs last year into coverage, and that made them vulnerable against the run, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a big day. I mean, he could have a big day anyway. He's a very good player, but I mean, he definitely took advantage of the lack of size and the lack of players in the front seven because there are more coverage players on the field. So I don't know if they'll do that again. They might mix it up a little more from that situation, but honestly, the Jets run defense is good, not great. Even if the win, even with the win over Buffalo for the Jets, Fred Jackson had about 80 yards in that vicinity, and would have gone over 100 if they didn't have to abandon the run because of the fact that they were so far behind. Mm-hmm. So I think Ben Jarvis Greenell could have another big game because for some reason the Jets are very inconsistent against the run.
Well, you know, to that end, the Jets defense has given up what, 38 points over the last 3 weeks. They're doing something right. What are they doing?
Well, I think some of it is luck. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, what they're doing, but some of it's luck. I mean, that pass against the San Diego Chargers that Darrelle Revis intercepted, that went off the hip of Vincent Jackson and right into his hand. So that was something that was very helpful to them. You know, there's been a lot of right place, right time scenarios for the Jets. Also, when you look at the last game, I thought their defensive coaches did a great job with the game plan for Buffalo. They're dropping linebackers into areas and Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't see them. Now, that's not going to happen as much against Tom Brady, and they know that. Fitzpatrick's good, but he's not a Tom Brady. And, you know, when you look at the Patriots, you know, a lot of people down on them now. They lost at the end two close games to Pittsburgh and to the New York Giants. Two very good teams, and they were very close games. So when you lose two close games to two very good teams, to me that's not the end of the world.
Very true. I would also add to this as we flip it to the other side. I think I've seen certainly Sean Green run a little bit better. LaDainian Tomlinson run a little bit better. Looking at the numbers, 130, almost 131 yards a game over the last three. More of a concerted effort. Is this due to the presence Mangold. Yeah, duh. Nick Mangold in the middle, or is this pretty much trying to alleviate a little bit more of the pressure from Sanchez? Where does it kind of fall?
Well, they need to alleviate the pressure from Sanchez. He can't be a Tom Brady where he will throw 40, 50 times and lead the team to victory. That's not his skill set and not what he does best. They need to run the football, play good defense, play good special teams, and have him run a conservative, low-risk passing game. So when he was struggling early in the year, the running game wasn't there, and Nick Mangold being hurt had something to do with that. So Mangold coming back has been huge for them. I mean, just look at the difference between what Marcel Darius of the Bills did against the Redskins and their backup center, Cook, and then a week later against Mangold. It was like night and day, and that shows you how good Mangold is. Darius did very little against the Jets after dominating the week before. So the Pro Bowl center, Mangold is back. That helps. Sean Green is, you know, running a lot better. It didn't help him early in the year that the line was not playing well. Aside from Mangold being hurt earlier in the year, the right tackle was new, Wayne Hunter, and he was really struggling the first two or three games. So the line playing better has helped Sean Green, and that, in the end, helps Mark Sanchez.
I'm wondering if that Nick Mangold-Vince Wilfork battle might neutralize itself, and if that doesn't play in the Jets' favor.
Yeah, it definitely could neutralize itself. The Patriots will probably have to look to other areas of the Jets' line to exploit, and that's hard to do because they're pretty good across the board. But Wayne Hunter is the one you can get some stuff done against. Last week, even in the win against Buffalo, he had issues with the defensive end named Alex Carrington. Mm-hmm. He gave up a sack. He gave up a run play that lost yardage, and he also had a penalty. So when you look at Wayne Hunter, he's the guy. If the Patriots are going to exploit anyone on that D-line, it'd be Wayne Hunter. The other four pieces are pretty solid.
Okay, very good. What is, other than Mangold and his presence, as you've already alluded to, how has this Jets team changed for the better since week five?
Well, another positive change has been Aaron Maben, who they had cut after training camp and then brought back about a month later to follow Buffalo Bill, the first-round pick out of Penn State from a few years ago. He's really helped their pass rush. Now, he's not doesn't have much in his bag of tricks. He's pretty much just a speed rusher. But the thing is, the Jets corners generally play on such a high level. When you look at Cromartie and you look at Revis, Cromartie's a little inconsistent, but for the most part, he does an excellent job. So there's so many plays where the opposing quarterback has nowhere to throw for a long time. So that allows Maben, who keeps churning and churning, to get to the quarterback. He's not going to do it, you know, with a bull rush. He's not going to do it with a lot of inside moves. It's generally speed off the edge. And, you know, like I said, the Jets secondary is playing on a very high level now, probably better than they were playing in the first Patriot game.
Which to me certainly doesn't help the Patriots out. It's been largely a two-receiver tandem that has done any kind of damage as the Patriots have struggled putting points on the board over the last couple of weeks. And Welker and Gronkowski, the last two teams they've faced have, you know, really, you know, done a good job of clogging the middle, making their opportunities, making them pay for any time they even get close to the ball. Both guys got pummeled pretty well this last week, and Patriots are having trouble stretching the field, which I think it'll be intriguing to see how the Jets decide to line up here. But I'm not so sure the Jets have to reinvent the wheel, especially seeing the success that the Steelers and the Giants have had over the last 2 weeks. Do you feel like Rex Ryan's the kind of guy that would want to say, hey, we're going to do our own thing regardless? Or do you think he's the kind of guy that says, hey, we've seen that, you know, these two teams beat the Patriots playing this way. Maybe we need to incorporate a little of this.
They'll get some of that involved. And also remember, one of the better defensive games this year against the Patriots was Dallas, and that's his twin brother, Rob Ryan. So, you know, they're going to be trading a lot of notes this week. The Jets come off Buffalo, and Buffalo plays against Dallas. So Rex can help Rob there, and Rob can help Rex when it comes to the Jets preparing for New England. Even though New England won that game, the Dallas Cowboys had a really good plan in that game. So Rex will mix in a lot of different things from previous weeks. He won't do exactly what the last two teams did because you know that Belichick and Brady will make some major adjustments. You know, you mentioned Gronkowski and Welker and all the damage that they've done. A guy that really hurt the Jets in the first matchup, I don't know if the numbers were big, but I thought that they had trouble covering him, was Deion Branch. So, I mean, Deion Branch torched Antonio Cromartie on a touchdown in the first Jet New England game. So I think Deion Branch could be a big factor as well this week.
I'm curious, and this will be my first time to actually go inside MetLife Stadium. How much of a, and this may or may not have anything to do with the football team, but how much of a home field advantage really is it for the Jets? Has it gotten better since the days of the old Meadowlands?
Well, it's been hot and cold. The last year was not a very strong home field at all. I remember when the Packers came to town. I know Green Bay travels well. That was almost a Packer home crowd. Every time John Kuhn, the fullback, carried the ball, Packer fans have a chant, Kuhn.
Right.
And you could clearly hear it every time Kuhn touched the ball. And Aaron Rodgers said that he had no trouble barking out the signals in that stadium. He couldn't believe how easy it was for a road game. The stadium is massive, 82,500 seats. Perhaps they built it a little too big, and it doesn't allow you know, a lot of other people get into the stadium aside from Jet fans because it's so big and there's a lot of inventory out there. There have been some good performances this year by the Jets fans when you look at the Miami game and the San Diego game. So it's getting better. The Jets and Rex Ryan are challenging their fans to make a lot of noise. And since there's so much at stake in this game, while the stadium is hot and cold as far as noise, I think this will be one of the noisier games in the history of that stadium.
Dan, you kind of lead me into the final one here. Clearly, this is a huge game for both sides. You could certainly make the argument, I think, that while it's big for the Patriots, it's even bigger for the Jets because they don't want to fall behind the Patriots, and they would lose the tiebreaker if they lose to the Patriots for a second time. But the loser of this game is going to drop into third place in a division that may not get one wild card, much less two. Is this big from the Jets' perspective, perhaps their biggest of the season to date?
Yeah, I think so. The Jets, you know, the big goal this year, aside from going to the Super Bowl and winning it, which is always the goal for any team, was to win the division, because the last couple of years when they went to AFC Championship games, it was a very tough road, and by the time they reached the third game, they were running on fumes. It's so hard to win three road games in the NFL in the playoffs. Talk about Proud Boys, playoff games, no matter where you're at, provide that. So it's rough environments, physically worn out. So I think the Jets would really like to get that home field advantage to help them in the playoffs, maybe get a week off. So this is a huge game for the Jets, because if they want to take that next step, I think they believe they really need to win the division and get the spoils that go along with that.
All right. Dan, thanks for a couple of minutes. Sure appreciate the time today. We'll see you on Sunday.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks. You got it. Dan Lieberfeld, Jets Confidential, joining us here in the playbook. Yes, I will be at the game on Sunday, if you're wondering. Which is kind of cool. I actually get to do a road game this year, so that's good. But it's only because I have a college basketball game the next night. I'll be in Fairfield, Connecticut. So I'm like, well, then why the hell don't I just go to the Patriot game? Got to be there to write on the game anyway, so why not go to New York? Get to spend the day in the city. You know, maybe do a little shopping. Got to go visit Katz's Delicatessen.
Nice pastrami sandwich.
Oh, dude, you're singing my tune. That is the world's best pastrami.
Carnegie's pretty good, too.
Carnegie's good, but Katz's is my favorite.
It is.
Because
I like them both.
It's just, I mean, literally, it's like butter.
Do I look fussy?
No. you look like you know your pastrami, Pete.
Oh, man. And you know what's the best about the... why doesn't Boston have... it's probably a couple. There's one in Brookline, I think. But to get the pickles that they have in New York, we don't get them. You don't get those whole pickles.
No. Got to have the whole pickle.
That's
got to have
huge.
The pastrami, and I got to have a bowl of matzo ball soup. Matzo ball soup, you know? It's just the way it works this time of year, right?
What's in here for food?
Nothing.
Because the PFW guys
scarfed it all down, and it's all gone. All right. So, what's happening today? What you got in the show?
Great Peter King will join me at 4:30 this afternoon.
Awesome.
Talk about not only the Patriots Jets, but a lot of other things. I want to get his take on the Penn State situation too.
Yeah.
There's still more on the Penn State stuff that it's just so disturbing, and I know what a big college fan you are. It's just, you know, Joe Paterno again coming out today, and I still don't know how he's going to coach that game Saturday. Good luck, but
well, you know what? First of all, he's not.
He shouldn't be allowed.
He won't go on the field. He's been in the box anyway.
Yeah. But he came out today finally saying I should have done,
should have done more.
Of course you should have. Any decent human being on the planet would have. It's just, right. But I'm still very angry about the whole thing.
Well, it's very easy to get angry.
Six adults who knew what the hell was going on.
Well, nobody did anything. I'm not as angry at him as I am, the receiver coach.
That's who
was the grad assistant that witnessed
McQuarrie. I know.
Yeah, McQuarrie.
I agree, but still. They all knew. I mean, the fact that somebody went to Joe and said, I saw a young person being sodomized in the shower, and you tell the AD, I mean, how do you not absolutely blow a gasket?
Well, because Joe.
On something so heinous as that.
Here's the thing. And again, I'm not going to try to pretend to be Joe Paterno or get inside his head here, but I would tell you that Joe Paterno, first of all, is 84 years old, and when this happened, he was what? 9 years younger.
Yeah.
All right, so he was 73 years old, 75 years old at the time. He obviously grew up in a different era. And so the fact that acts like that even occur is probably completely foreign to his way of thinking. He doesn't even know what the heck it is.
Well, I got to disagree with you.
That doesn't excuse it, Pete, but I'm just telling you, he has a hard time comprehending that.
Look.
Can't wrap your arms around that.
This is the tip of the iceberg stuff, because you can guarantee that guy should have been, he just shouldn't even been hanging around there. He's on the premises last week.
I don't disagree.
So there's obviously payoffs involved. There's money involved.
There might be.
And there's going to be a whole
bunch. And I hope that will come out.
There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. And I can't wait to talk to Peter King about it, because this is the kind of story, really, that SI has been known to break over the years.
Yeah. And
now that it's there, right. I think you're going to see now that probably their investigators are all over it. I know the NCAA technically right now cannot get involved because of the criminal charges, but watch what happens. Watch what comes out now. I guarantee you, this is so far from over.
I realize that. I realize that, and it's unfortunate that an outstanding university's reputation is going to be sullied because of it. But the one thing that I think people need to understand is that this is starting to turn into a witch hunt, and witch hunts never work. They never serve the purpose to which you intend it to serve. And by that I mean you're going to have players in that program and professors at the university and students at the university and other coaches in that program who are blameless here, many blameless who had no idea any of this was going on, and they're going to end up suffering because of it, and that's not right.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. And we had my friend Greg Spanner, who played there for 2000, was on yesterday.
Right.
And they all say the same thing. Him, Blackledge, LeVar, they all say the same thing. Nobody had any idea.
Nobody knew.
About what a dirtbag and a monster that this guy was. So
clean the president, the athletic director, Joe Pa.
The president's out today.
Yeah.
He's out.
Okay, clean them all out. That's fine.
You got to do
it. And then start over, but stop, circling, the wagons for blood here, because, frankly, that's not going to serve the purpose.
Well, no, I just think they want somebody to come out and say that why nothing was done. The problem is the more people keep saying that they went through the proper chain of command, the more it's going to come out, the more you're going to hear about payoffs and the fact that Joe Paterno cared more about his reputation, the reputation of the football program, than the integrity of children being molested in showers.
I'm sorry.
Shame on him. I don't care. Growing up in the Northeast, which I know you've been here many years, but it really sucks, because growing up in the Northeast, besides Boston College, I think you talked to many people over the years in New England. I think a lot of us kind of adopted Penn State as like kind of our team.
Sure.
A lot of people have. I mean, I was a huge Penn State fan growing up. Always liked to see them do well. And it is amazing for a guy for decades has preached about cleanliness and, doing it the right way and all
another
that stuff.
Another reason why we don't need to have the witch hunt, because there are 62 years least 62 years of him doing what we thought was the right thing, and he's got this one really bad thing in there.
One really bad thing that lasted 14 years. This wasn't something that happened last week. 14 years!
You know what, Pete? You're absolutely right about that.
I can't let him off the hook, John.
Letting him off the hook, Pete.
I'm saying, but the witch hunt is, we know the people involved. I'm not going out.
So let's go after the people that are involved.
Well, that's it. I agree. I feel bad. The people I feel bad for, besides obviously the families and the kids who were molested, your heart goes out. Besides that stuff, I feel bad for the players who have to go out there on Saturday and deal with this stuff, and the former players that he's had who are just entirely shocked and embarrassed and have no idea. They're just blown away by this whole thing.
Okay.
So, I mean, I agree. I think we know who the culprits are here. It's the entire, the university, the people that are in charge, Joe, the president, McQuarrie, the AD. Those are the people. I don't see any other names really popping up here.
No. Well, then let's.
And they're all going to go. Some of them are going to go to jail and some of them will never come out.
Board of Regents needs to act swiftly and they need to move on. That's the one thing that Penn State needs to do is move on. Because I feel badly for people who have gone to that school and I feel badly for the people that go there now.
Great. And I got to believe that this is going to, impact that football cares about that? I mean, maybe the school for a long time.
It probably will. It'll impact them on donations. It'll impact them in recruiting.
It should.
It'll impact them in a long
time. It should. I
heard somebody the other day, yesterday say, should give them the death penalty. Nah, know what? They don't need the death penalty. This is going to hurt them enough.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
And why do you have to punish people who are blameless here?
Yeah, well,
because that's all you're doing.
But it's what's unbelievable is how the NCAA really technically so far can't get involved in this yet. A couple of Ohio State tattoos and all these other little rinky-dink stories that really mean nothing, and they get absolutely annihilated. It's just, I don't know. There should be some kind of clause where something like this happens. This is one time, but the NCAA can't investigate their own. I won't say it, but. Yeah, it's just the whole thing is just absolutely. It's just so sad, and it's so it just makes you angry and pathetic. I thought Matt Millen was terrific yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, his emotions.
Would.
I heard Todd Blackledge this morning. My friend I had on yesterday. You heard. It's just unbelievable that this could have happened, gone on for so long. This isn't like it happened last week. 14 freaking years. Come on.
All right, Pete's coming up in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, let me wind up with this from our friend Gene in Daytona Beach. Are we not in first place? Relax. National media does not hate the Pats. They hate Bill. Bill Belichick does not give them the stories they need to make a living. National media has been waiting for this opportunity to dump on Bill, so you should have expected this. Bill make mistakes on players, but he still is the best coach we have ever had, and I would want no one else. A couple of wins, they'll be all back on the BB bandwagon. Taquan Underwood will stretch the defense. He did it in Jacksonville. He just needed a quarterback to throw it to him, so maybe he has it now. It was a mistake for Jacksonville to let him go. To that end, I will tell you that while he did show a little bit as a seventh-round draft pick, I think I said he was undrafted earlier, seventh-round draft pick of the Jaguars, I think the Patriots, by and large, bringing Underwood in not so much to address receivers, which I think we all realize they could use, but for the return game, because the Patriots' return game is abysmal right now. They're only averaging just barely 20 yards per return, and so I think they're going to look at Underwood to hopefully provide a little bit of snap in the return game. So just wanted you to know that. Brian the Fox says, John, I think it's more likely this team wins against the Jets and takes control of the division. On the question of the day. At the end of the day, Tom Brady played three horrible games. They still barely lost to some very good teams. Just based on Tom's career, the probability of him having yet another abysmal game is very low. Brady plays well. The Patriots crush the Jets.
Again, to use the word horrible and abysmal, wrong. I mean, spoiled. Wrong. He passed for 342 yards. Two touchdowns. That's not a horrible game. They were ahead with 90 seconds to go. All right, the Pittsburgh game, the offense was on the field for 19 minutes and 47 seconds. All right, still even that wasn't down by – horrible was like against Miami about in 2006 when they lost 21-0. He had a horrible game then. He had a horrible game in 2002 or 2001, his third, fourth start against Miami. I mean, to use those words in that vernacular, I'm sorry. It's inaccurate. It's wrong. Choose better words.
Terrence will leave us with this one. After this upcoming Sunday, the Pats will find themselves fighting for a wild card spot. This team is clearly suffering from a lack of talent. No turnaround will occur.
Well, I'm glad he has a crystal ball that can see that. Now, do these people point that same hard-hitting analysis to all the rest of the leagues, the teams in the NFL, that all have issues?
To my knowledge, no. No.
Did they realize that the up and down games that Flacco has had, and despite the great, the defense that the Baltimore Ravens have, that if Flacco doesn't play well, they're not going to win a Super Bowl? It's a team thing. I can't stand the strictly pass or fail every week. It really aggravates me.
I'm not easily aggravated. It's a pass or fail society. There is no middle ground. No. It's pass or fail.
That's the problem.
Well, hopefully we passed the mustard today. Same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow. We've got more on the Jets. We'll have Russell Baxter, pro football guru, to come in tomorrow. And then, yeah, it's Prediction Thursday, which means you're going to have to get off the fence. And if you're a Pats fan, okay, great. Support your team. But if you see the other side of the coin here and you feel like the Patriots just might need to go a little lower before they can rise back to the top, I need to hear from you tomorrow as well.
Here's why. There's only one reason you have to know why the Patriots will win on Sunday night. Everybody in Patriots Football Weekly, with the exception of Brian Lowe, picked the Jets. So
that's true.
Last time that happened was against the Dolphins, and the Patriots won by 87 points.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Well, we're going to find out if he is. Pete Shepard's coming up next. See you tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.